it's time to listen to the interviews on Island Life. It's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 24th of May, 2014. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa. On Saturday, May the 24th, David Batten talked to Glenda Andrew O'Neill, Waiheke's Community Waste Educator.
Well, I've got Glenda, and I've got to make sure I get Andrew Neil, because I've never always known her as Glenda, because we used to deal with her at the Wish Trust for Bokashi Composting, which is fabulous. Good morning, Glenda. How are you?
Good morning, David. Very good. Well, thank you.
It's good. Now, I'm reading the article in one of the local papers, and it says you are a community waste educator.
Mm.
Wow, what does that mean?
Well, I like to think that I can talk with the communities, the schools and the business sector and teach them ways of reducing their waste. So obviously waste to landfill. So I think as being the educator on the island for quite a few number of years now, I think we've successfully looked at a lot of ways that we can assist that. There's always a lot of work to do. There's always a lot of new people coming to the island. But I think on the whole, people really are caring about the environment. They just want ways of reducing their waste. Landfill fees will be going up in the next few years, so that'll have an impact on businesses. So, you know, anything we can do and to help that is a great thing.
That'd be great. And who are you employed by?
Well, I'm a contractor, actually. So obviously I worked for the Resources Trust in the last contract, and when it came to the Trans-Pacific Industries taking over the next contract, I carried on doing the work for them in a quiet way, really. We've got the Learning Centre upstairs, and I do sessions there and work with businesses and still get out and do community work. I'm affiliated with the Resource Trust on a project at the moment called the Good Life Festival coming up. It's an eco-festival, and that'll be coming up in September. So we'll be on radio to talk to you about more about that specific one. Might be Dawn doing that one. Someone will be here to talk about that one. That's going to be exciting. So watch that space.
Brilliant. Yeah, I didn't know there was a learning centre.
I know. We're a little bit of a hidden gem. So it's right above the New Hope Shop, actually. And I'm usually there on a Monday, Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Oh, excellent to know all these
Welcome these visitors to come up and see what's happening.
Yeah. Well, do you do much with schools?
Well, we do, absolutely. Actually, we're working on a little project with both the primary schools at the moment at beautifying the throw and go bins at the car parks. So they'll be actually, the schools are going to be adopting a throw and go bin and putting their sustainability pictures on it. So it'll be a visual thing. So looking forward to that and beautifying them and you know, promoting their school.
I think there was two things that they found kids, the influence they can have on their parents was one with fire alarms. That was a biggie. And then there was the one with having a plan to evacuate the house. And so kids are a big influence.
They certainly are.
I remember a woman saying to me, her granddaughter said, "Oh, Grandma, I don't like it when you smoke because you smell." She gave up. So that's a good thing.
Out of the mouth of babes, they speak the truth.
They can put a bit of pressure on, you know. Don't throw that in there. And they can put a bit of pressure on, and they take it seriously.
They do.
And so for that, I think kids are the answer to get those to get those things, because they were big onto the smoke alarms.
Yeah,
I remember
absolutely.
The fire brigade telling me that.
Absolutely.
Right. So you've got a free seminar coming up.
Well, yeah,
which looks really fascinating.
We do. This is the second time Ravi's been to Waiheke. He came and we did a presentation and a workshop from Mudbrook, actually. Just trying to rack back the years. I think it was about 7 or 8 years ago. There were about 100 people that attended. We had morning sessions and afternoon sessions. And it's been quite great because people like Mudbrook have been quite sustainable doing their composting and Padiri Krishi and Cable Bay. A lot more people are doing on-site composting. So this year, they've decided to come back to Waiheke. Ravi comes every couple of years. He's from Sri Lanka, and he's part of the EM network, which stands for Effective Microorganisms, which is a network concerned with soil biology. So we're looking at ways to use natural remedies to improve our soil and enhance our soil. And EM is a component in the bokashi. So it's also used in vineyards and agriculture in about, don't quote me on this, about 157 countries around the world now. So us in the West, of course, we chose a lot of agrochemicals in the past, and we're still wearing the brunt of that, I think, with dioxins in our soil. So, you know, coming to Waihi's exciting because there's a lot more vineyards wanting to look at aiming towards being more organic, and how do they do that? How do they keep the price down? So it is a free seminar, and it is about the aim is on soil health. So we've got Ravi Sangakkara coming, and Mike Daly is the EM maker in New Zealand. He's a scientist, and he lives and works in Christchurch with his family. So he makes the EM and distributes it throughout New Zealand. So Ravi's a great, he'll show some case studies and obviously be there with his expertise to chat about how we could apply that to agriculture, how we can apply that to vineyards and get the best results from it. So
that's on the 6th of June.
Correct. It's on the 6th of June. Now, what we're going to do, there's two things on the 6th of June, David. So in the morning, Cable Bay have kindly hosting a workshop come lecture from Mike and Ravi and possibly Neville Burt, who's the bokashi expert. And we just need you to book in for that one because we can see, you know, just so we can cater for the numbers. But of particular interest to the vineyards, that'll be because Cable Bay have been using the EM technology. So they'll be able to report on how it's going for them and what are the benefits and get all the advice from the experts there on hand. So it'll be particularly of interest to a lot of vineyard managers and vintners and owners and even olives and things like that as well, agriculture, gardening and spraying and things like that. So they'll be talking about how to activate it and use it to its fullest capacity.
Yeah, it's great. You can have a sort of seminar for people, but if you've got somebody who has done it themselves and they are a winery, then that carries a lot more oomph, a lot more weight, and oh, that's marvellous. Because I know we use the bokashi stuff, the bokashi composting
at the Wish Trust,
and the difference in growing things was amazing.
Absolutely, and I think that we're a community that's, you know, well known for that. Now that was part of the waste minimisation strategy, implementing bokashi in the Resource Trust days, because of people were still not composting their meat and their cheese and their fish because it attracted the rats. So this was an easy system. So it's been adopted. And I'm also one of the Create Your Own Eden tutors. And we've recently designed a webinar, which is a seminar online, to teach people out of the waste minimization budget, how to compost at home. So you might not have 3 hours to give up to come to a course, but you might have an hour in the evening from home to register, either worm farming or bokashi. And once you've listened for an hour, know how to use it properly, fill in the survey, you get a $46 voucher from council off a bucket and mix.
Gosh.
So it's part of the waste minimisation budget because council want to aim at getting 40,000 people composting in the next 4 years.
Yeah, well, composting is so, so important. It's got to reduce their the waste. I know that the way we deal with our waste at present, I think, still a long way to go.
We do.
We got the bins. I know everybody thought, oh, we'll have a bin. But when you I'd hate to look and see what goes in them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, the bin thing, because, you know, it's over the last few years, some people like the bins. There's negatives and positives for everything, but there's definitely a reduction in dog strikes on the island with the implementation of bins. The throw-and-go bins have helped because local people or holiday makers can take their bags on the way out and put it in the throw-and-go bins in their red bags. And that's helped with not leaving bags on the curbsides all week, you know, those people. So there's been a number of things that have helped. But I think by 2015, there'll be a two-bin system that council will be implementing, a smaller and a larger waste bin. So if you're a good person, on most of us are in Waiheke, and we think about what we buy often, we just don't buy rubbish, a lot of us, is you'll have a small bin and you'll get charged less in your rates. If you opt for the big bin, you'll be paying for it.
Well, it's all about, paying for, if you want the luxury, you've got to cough up the money.
That's right.
And it's really interesting because a friend of mine came over. She's from over in Europe, and she said, what are these red things hanging on the lampposts? And I said, they're the people who've gone for till next weekend, and they're hanging their rubbish up there so the dogs don't get it.
That's exactly right.
Be some terrible messes, didn't they?
There still is some round. I drove past one the other day and just was like, oh, here we go. You know, and it's not really fair of the drivers to actually have to clean it up. And literally it is because someone's put their bin out too early, or or people haven't kept their dogs inside the neighbor's dogs, or those wandering dogs, and they find them, and of course they just do what they do. They scavenge.
Just go for it.
They do.
But I had to, it's a sort of not a great thing, but I did laugh when a friend of mine said, oh, these red bags you've got, you guys will just be floating on a layer of red bags in the earth. I said, no, they all go to the city. You should have seen their face. They were not impressed that we send it all over there. But it is, I do composting at home. And you know, it's just a matter of going out there and doing it. And I put it in my garden every year. Every year when I do the summer planting, I just empty my compost bin into it, turn it over, and I've started again for another year. I'm growing silver beet like minor palms.
We're definitely more conscious of that living on Waiheke, which is part of what I love about it. It's we're a little bit more aware of our surroundings. And I remember when Denise Roche interviewed Derek Hindle some time ago, and he said one rubbish bag a year. And I think at that stage I was one rubbish bag every week, the average sort of thought, not thinking much about it. And now I do about every 2 months, and I often think what his thing is, it's like, I don't buy rubbish.
But it's packaging.
I know, but he doesn't buy the packaging.
I can't believe the amount of packaging that I have to get undone.
That's right.
And I look at it, and when I live on my own, sometimes a little packet of something's quite an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
But then I look at packaging, so I go only where I can buy things loose.
Yeah, exactly. You've made that decision to make that change, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to just promote was the Friday evening, David.
Yep.
So in the morning, Cable Bay are hosting from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock a practical and a theory session on specifically aimed at vineyards and large scale anybody with large market gardens or anything like that, but it's particularly aimed at the commercial sector, that one. But in the evening at 7 o'clock, up in the Learning Centre, the transfer station upstairs, from about 7 to 8.30, we're inviting everybody, really, who's interested in soil health, gardening, growing your own food. You know, anybody who's got an interest in it will be talking. So it'll be sort of a mixed group, as well as the vineyards are welcome to come to that as well. But, you know, we're looking at efficient ways and natural ways of using this technique through the Bokashi composting and EM technology, growing food naturally with minimal fertilizer inputs, increasing soil biology and enhancing the environment. Vineyards and many great uses will be talked about that night. So again, that's a free night for people to just come along, find out some questions. They're a really interesting speaker, and you can sort of find out if you've got an interest in how the rest of the world's doing and all the varying different uses for it as well.
Well, I just think, just by nature, I was brought up probably gardening by my father, who was not a young man when I was born. And, of course, he never used any.
No.
So I just never use any either.
No.
And all I do every year is, when the summer's coming, I just drop my compost out of the bin into the garden, dig it over, and that's all I do. And I've never had anything. Remember when I first came to Waiheke, some people knocked on my door and said, you're the new owner, are you still doing vegetables that have not got any sprays or anything on them? Because a friend of mine's got cancer and we've been getting vegetables from here.
Wow.
So I fronted up to it and thought, yep, and I made sure it never happened.
Right.
That was a good lesson, but I never did it anyway.
Yeah.
But I look at it and suddenly some things look a bit eaten, but they taste all right.
Pretty organic.
I never get too worried about it, because it's just how I learnt.
Mm.
Although I must admit, my kale one, the kale got a bit white on the inside of the leaf, but that was later in the season.
Yeah.
And I just used, you can use all sorts of different things, soap and water and stuff. But it was just that lady knocking on the door reinforced that to me, because I thought, well, I don't know. what can you say? You've got to say you're going to carry on with it.
What can you say? Exactly. I mean, I have vivid memories of my father in the compost making it, you know, at the back of the garden. He had half our yard and a vegetable garden.
Oh, I know.
I know. That was amazing. And, you know, those are the days when you didn't really have fences between neighbours.
Yep.
And you pass excess over the gate and it was returned and... Yeah. You know, it was just a lovely way to live. Simplicity, I think, you know.
Yeah. When I lived in Mount Roskill, I gardened in the neighbour's garden as well.
Wow.
It was a hole in the fence, and I just did it in there.
Fabulous.
Because I didn't have enough room.
Fabulous.
Yeah, it was fun. But it's interesting to do the gardening. I enjoy it. Back's not as good as it used to be, but still I now only plant what I really need.
Yeah.
Although I must admit I did overdo the beans and I was giving away bags and bags of beans. And it's always nice to give.
It's a good feeling, isn't it?
I've got a big silver beet patch and spinach patch. I've got to start giving some of that away.
Beautiful.
Before it goes off. Well, that's going to be fabulous. So that's upstairs at the recycling place,
yeah,
the learning centre up there, 7 till about 8:30.
Yes.
I bet there's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
It'll probably go on a bit.
Well, there's a lot of people that use Bokashi and of course a lot of the liquid that's been used, they put in the septic tanks. So it's been really beneficial. People have been getting extensions of their pump outs using it because it's a healthy septic tank.
See, that's a really good thing to know.
So it's many uses, and those are the things that are important for Waiheke because, you know, we're enforced a 3-year pump out by council, but I mean, I've had an extension of another 2 years. So it was 5 years and it was still a healthy septic.
Because no one gets up in the morning and goes, I'm going to get a new septic tank today. It's the kind of thing we just leave, isn't it?
Until it maybe smells and then we think, oh, what's going on? And then, you know, there's a whole education about what you put down there because it's millions of microorganisms down there and we kill off the good ones and then it comes back to
it does
smell.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really great. I'm really pleased. So, is there anything else we can add to any of this? How do they get hold of you?
You can text me or ring me. The 4070 is the work number. Or you want to text me, especially for those coming from vineyards, or ring me on my mobile, which is 021-230-8472. You know, there'll be a lot of people that's turning up to the evening one. It's quite casual.
Mm.
I think you come early for a good seat. I think I only got about 45 seats. We're going to have a packed out room.
Oh, I think you will. You know,
I think so. Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure. You know, Friday evening, not everyone wants to, you know, sit into lecture, but it'll be relaxing.
Sounds pretty friendly.
It'll be friendly.
And you're friendly.
Oh, thanks very much, David. It's just making, the resource of the expertise is going to be there, Ravi.
I can just see that we're getting people that really something special.
Yeah, he's a professor in agronomy. You heard that word?
No, agronomy.
Agronomy.
What's that mean?
Well, I guess that's an earth thing, agronomy. Let me just see where I've actually says chair group. He holds a chair in crop science at the University of Peradeniya in Sri Lanka.
Right.
And he specialises in crop agronomy and food production systems program and runs a program on agronomy. So that's, I guess, another word for agriculture.
Right.
Agronomy. Ravi has developed a broad technical expertise in EM technology, including many research projects evaluating EM, Bokashi, and nature farming techniques around the world.
Yeah, and the Bokashi is so simple.
It's simple.
It's just not a... And you do manage to do, as you say, you don't have a rat problem.
No, exactly.
And that's the wonderful thing because, boy, they can hang around if you put the wrong things in there.
Totally. And that's why I think the webinars are really good at teaching too, and getting a discount to start is always a helpful one. But those interested in attending a webinar can just go onto the Kaipātiki website and register for that. Kaipātiki is an environment trust on the North Shore and they're running the Create Your Own Eden contract on behalf of council.
All right.
So I'm one of the tutors for that. We've designed the webinar for Bokashi to make it... You know, you're listening, you can type any questions,
and
it's a PowerPoint presentation, basically. And we try to make it not too boring, and we do a step-by-step process so people actually understand. You know, it's very simple as long as you follow a few basic principles. Mm. Keep the air out, keep the liquid drained on a regular basis so it doesn't smell, because it's an active.
Get the kids involved. Kids would love it.
Totally, totally.
Because they're doing something.
Exactly.
Kids love gardening.
They do.
Lots of articles.
Growing their food.
They really do love it. And it's nothing, I mean, tonight I'm going to be having chicken and there's my silver beet. It's just like And I just go out there and it, I mean, how fresh can it get? And it's lovely, and I love
harvesting
silver.
Harvesting your own food.
I love silver beet. I really do. I was brought up on those things. That's what we did.
You know, my husband's English, and it was quite funny when he came to New Zealand. A silver beet is something they feed their cows. And he was like, "You eat silver beet here?" And I went, "Oh, yeah, you just watch."
Yeah.
And now he eats lots of it and loves it.
It's, you can do so much with it, and it goes with things. And
I put it in my green smoothie, actually, raw.
Yep. Yeah,
it's good,
yep,
green smoothie. Good. It's great.
That's very, very good. Mm-hmm. And I've got the red one and the
fabulous
green one.
Yep.
And, I mean, I've grown them ever since I can remember. Yeah. I can't remember a time. I used to grow when I was a kid. Here's something about me, but, hey, we've got a bit of time. I used to grow vegetables for the neighbours when I was young. I was under 12.
Did you sell them?
No.
You gave them.
Dad said that I could have some garden, but I needed to give some to the neighbours too.
Oh, what a fabulous.
And so I grew things.
What a fabulous dad.
So I grew things for the neighbours. Well, they didn't have any choices in those days. Mm. You know, it wasn't easy.
No, it wasn't.
And they were, you know, Dad was 45 when I was born. So he'd been through, you know, he was born in 1900. And so, you know, he knew how to make things last and how they grew things. And I remember, I've got a nephew that's very much near my age because of that reason, being born so late in the family. And they say his grandfather, no one ever saw his face, only his bum, because he was always in the garden.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he'd go there all day.
Yeah, my memories of Dad was always in the garden on his days off.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, well, he'd retired by the time I knew him. And he was, as I say, no one ever saw his face, they reckon. He was there. He'd come for morning tea, go back, lunch, and boy, could he produce cabbages and everything. Oh. And he just loved it.
There's quite a joy, isn't there, in doing that.
He was in Waihee. He just, but it was an easier time and I don't know.
Yeah, I think we've got complicated in life. My mother's one of 13 children and brought up in England in the Depression and, you know, they squatted, they did all sorts of things, but they'd get food out of gardens and things like that. But they were happy. She said, you know, you ate from the garden, anyone's garden, I think, in those days. They didn't have much. And, of course, they're a pretty healthy lot. Now, I think, you know, they've got a pretty strong constitution. There's only two that have passed away out of your whole family.
Gosh.
The rest of them are still going.
Wow. That's, they did something right, didn't they?
They did, didn't they? Simplicity, good food. Yeah.
Well, I know lots of people. They go silver beet and they go, ooh, I won't eat that.
Mm.
I just love it.
It's fantastic.
Put a poached. You ever tried silver beet and put a poached egg on top of it?
Yeah, we have that in our Eggs Benedict. Yeah. Add silver beet.
Never get to eat. Oh, luxury. I never make that much. I probably can't wait, but I get my little bit of.
It's fabulous.
And of course, you can steam it.
Yep.
You don't need to waste the water.
No, we're always just steaming it. Yeah.
And then you put your poached egg in there. And I think it's delicious.
It is. It's fantastic food. I haven't had breakfast, David, so I think I might have that for my
and it's
brunch.
Lovely with fish. You know, often on a bed of fish, you put that and you put the bed of some bean. And the stalks are lovely.
And just squeezing some lemon juice on it. Yep. Something really simple is really nice to soak it for a few minutes.
I'm not good with my lemon juice.
Oh, aren't you?
I get told all the time. I'm not good with bitter things, but,
right.
But I do my best. I'm improving. Because I used to say people would put lemon juice over fish, and I go, why are you putting lemon on good food? But I really don't – I don't like vinegar. Mm. I don't like things like cooked in – I mean, things preserved in vinegar and things. Sour things I don't really like.
Yeah, it's just not your taste.
I don't like sweet things either, but I'm sort of in between. So, well, that's really great. I have an idea that I'll talk to you off air because I think I can make myself available to get these guys on air.
Oh, that would be amazing.
And if it's a program that we can play later after they've gone, but we'll talk about that when we
finish. Yeah, we will because I'll give you the
– Thank you for coming in.
Oh, David, you're welcome. Fabulous. Thanks for asking me to come
in. This is just a joy because I know, once again, I know – this works. And I remember when you were down at the farmer's market and you were selling the bokashi and then we were there with our products.
That's right.
And when
they'd
say, how come that's so big, they would go,
send them over to me. It was great for my sales.
And vice versa. Well, that worked really well. And I was really proud to be involved in that.
Yeah.
We do have our moments when things with Wish, you have your
Cycles.
Cycles. That's the word I was thinking of. You have your cycles.
Like food cycles.
And we're not in that cycle right now.
Yeah.
But who knows, we could get back into that cycle again. And I think it's important because I don't go, well, the staff are going to have to do it, because that's not what it's about.
No.
I want people to do it if they want to.
It's about the ownership.
It's not compulsory.
It's got to be simple.
But
for
we
them.
Still do our garden and we still got a compost, but we don't. And it's no reflection on Bokashi, it didn't work. I think it's just the motivation for it.
Absolutely.
But it does make a big difference.
Yeah. The funny thing about composting is it's this very social thing, right? And the nature of our life is that we have our ups and we have our downs. Mm. And one of the things to go when we're having some of our downs is composting.
Mm.
A lot of people I don't know if they're entering into a stage where they've got problems and, you know, that's the last thing they think about. So waste being a social thing, it often increases when we're in times of not being our happiest.
Oh, right.
It's very interesting. I've been watching it because my background's community and social work, actually. Yeah. So I look at the psychology of waste, and you will find. So someone who's on a good buzz, life's going beautifully, compost is working really well. That the opposite occurs when they're having a downtime in life.
Yeah.
So I can understand about that with cycles, you know.
Compost goes well when I'm doing my garden.
Cedar. You know, brilliant.
When I'm out there, I can be doing it. I had a whole lot of feijoas. Don't like feijoas. I don't know why, but I'm one of those few people that makes me they make me shudder.
Mm.
But mine got a little brown bug on them.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot got that this
and
year.
And I had to put them, but I got a lot that didn't, off one tree.
Mm.
And I don't like them at all. So I was giving them away. I was telling people to go out and pick them
up.
But a whole lot went into the compost. I don't know what that would be, what did for the compost.
That's okay. It'll all break down. It'll all be returned back. And
everything goes in there. And it's just a bin I just got sitting on the garden. I sit it on the garden. Because then I can lift it up and spread it out.
Don't forget to use lots of brown material. A lot of people find with their traditional compost, it takes longer to break down and they're missing just one little simple thing, carbon. So you've got nitrogen, which is grass and food. So to add more carbon is things like shredded paper, newspapers, cardboard, egg cartons, toilet roll holders. Shred them up, chuck them in, mix them up. You actually find you'll get compost back very quick.
I didn't think. I actually didn't know that. Anything
you
I've
probably
known, I really
already
just did
do it.
It.
Like the other sources of carbon, which you probably do automatically, are things like brown leaves and sticks.
Yep. Yep.
So you're probably already doing it. But a lot of people, if they don't get a lot of carbon, their compost takes a long time. It'll start smelling or get a bit slimy, so they need the browns. So cardboard and newspaper is fantastic.
That sliminess sometimes puts people off. But have you discovered ever people sitting there discussing compost?
Oh, yes.
You get some real advocates and they're passionate about their composting.
Well, when I run
people
a compost.
People out Rocky Bay are a bit like that.
Yeah, I know.
I understand.
Are. Okay, I believe I'm from there.
I know.
When I do a compost course, I always get people in the room to share their stories because I don't see myself as the expert. You know, there's a wealth of knowledge in one room. So we end up in storytelling and it can be quite hilarious sometimes.
People just love it. I remember people talking. My dad talked about it, you know, what you do and the latest ideas and everything. And he had one where you put in the planks in the front.
Mum's got one of those.
And it builds
up. Yep, mum's got my mum
take
uses.
Take it right out. Because you've got to find a way that's easy.
Yes.
This way I do it is easy for me. It means I don't got to
You're not going to cart
it.
You just spread it over the garden. Fantastic.
And I only take up a little bit of the garden.
Yep. That's a fabulous idea, on the garden.
And it works really well. And I looked at it the other day and it was high. Now it's really compacted. So it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah. Well, look, thank you very, very much for coming in.
Thanks, David.
Saved my life a bit, actually. But it's been fun to talk
about
these things.
It's been interesting chatting with you.
And I'll talk to you when I finish the program, and we'll talk about what I can do. Perhaps we can get I can make a recording of them. Or
fabulous. Let's talk about that. That'll be great. That. So thank you, listeners.
That's all right.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onewarra.